Reputed South Boston mobster James Whitey Bulger, once invisible, one of the most wanted men in the world, is suddenly everywhere. Two books are out this month. At least two movies are in the works, one with Johnny Depp playing the mobster. Another, still in talks, could have Boston natives Matt Damon in the lead and Ben Affleck directing. The 83-year-old Bulger is, of course, in jail, charged with taking part in 19 murders, with a trial expected this summer. But on Wednesday, a judge will hear his argument that a federal prosecutor gave him immunity while he was an FBI informant. Now, you probably know the story. Bulger was an informant for the FBI, which prosecutors say was so obsessed with taking down the Italian mafia that it gave Bulger free rein in the Irish enclave of South Boston, agents becoming protective and even admiring of their source. Jack Nicholson's venal character in The Departed was based on Whitey Bulger. His capture with longtime girlfriend Catherine Gregg, both discovered living the life of retirees in Santa Monica, was carried on all the networks. But did you know that in the 70s, Whitey Bulger firebombed JFK's birthplace here in Massachusetts because he was angry about forced busing? That while during an early stint in prison, he took part in LSD experiments? That one of his supporters then was anti-war activist Father Robert Drynan? Kevin Cullen and Shelley Murphy are veteran Boston Globe reporters and authors of the new book, Whitey Bulger, America's Most Wanted Gangster, and the manhunt that brought him to justice, and they both join us in the studio. Kevin, Shelley, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Robin.
Boy, and I turned pages all weekend while shoveling. Mm. Now, just to give some context cross-country, here in New England, we have seen hoodlum after hoodlum turn on Whitey Bulger. His FBI handler went to jail. Now, Bulger has been long saying he never informed on anyone. I think you write, he never put one person in prison in my life. So, Shelley, start with you. What do you make of this attempt to get immunity for being an FBI informant?
Well, it's not the first time that this issue has been raised. His longtime partner, Steve Flemmy, raised a similar defense when he was arrested back in 1995. Whitey fled and, you know, was on the run for 16 years. But there were lengthy hearings in Boston where Flemmy argued the FBI knew we were out committing crimes. They gave us immunity from prosecution with the caveat we not kill anyone. Now Whitey's taking it one step further and saying, no, actually it was a federal prosecutor who gave us immunity with no conditions at all, and it was lifetime immunity for future murders. You know, the prosecutors argue that, well, this is preposterous, that nobody has the authority to give such a deal to anyone.
But Kevin, doesn't he on the face of it have a point? It seemed like they gave him complete immunity.
I wrote in a column the other day, I said if I was Whitey Bulger, I would have thought I had immunity too, because not only did the FBI not go after him on crimes, they actually went out of their way to thwart the efforts of honest police officers and law enforcement agents to bring him to justice. So he thought the FBI had his back. If I was him, I would have thought the same thing.
And did people die because the FBI looked the other way?
There's no question.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the public record is clear that several people were murdered as a direct involvement by FBI agents.
Okay, we're going to get to that. But this background that we now get of a younger Whitey Bulger, and Shelley, I'm going to turn to you, because we're talking about the era during court-ordered busing in South Boston. You went to South Boston High School, and you were bused out of South Boston. Do I have that correctly?
That's right.
And, in fact, Whitey Bulger says you're a traitor to the people in the area for your unbelievable crime reporting here. You know, a lot of people in that area had a lot of rage. And with time, some people are more sympathetic to the anger over forced busing. But Whitey Bulger actually firebombed JFK's birthplace?
That's right. I mean, he felt that there was a huge injustice to the people of South Boston, that that he did not like the idea that people in South Boston were being forced to send their children to schools outside their own neighborhood that the court had actually found were inferior. And so there was a lot of rage in South Boston about this, a lot of feeling of being put upon. But, you know, there was this myth that Whitey was, you know, keeping the peace in Southie Durham busing, that he did not want to draw attention to his own criminal, you know, enterprise. And so he was trying to keep things quiet. What we found, and this is based on friends who were with him, that he actually, you know, he did firebomb JFK's birthplace, threw a Molotov cocktail in the door.
In Brookline here. And not only that, wrote on the sidewalk, "Bus Teddy."
Exactly.
And this is key because that was Ted Kennedy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And Ted was a very, you know, big proponent of, you know, desegregation, felt that it was necessary to desegregate Boston schools. So he was considered by Whitey as an enemy.
He also, according to your book, he firebombed some elementary schools when the kids weren't there in the neighborhood of the judge.
That's right. There was an elementary school in Wellesley, which also, you know, had to be closed for a few days or for some time. And there was a phone call made to the police saying, if our kids are going to be bussed, so are yours.
Whitey is also very proud of having shot up the offices of the Boston Globe. In the letters that we reviewed, he actually boasts about this. He's proud of that accomplishment. And he actually put it in the context that after he shot up the Globe to protest the Globe's editorial support of busing and also what he considered the Globe's demonization of people in South Boston who oppose busing, he bragged that he actually led to the creation of jobs, that the Globe had to go out and create a whole new security regimen, and they put in all these, you know, bulletproof glass. And as he said in a letter we saw, he was proud that people that were hired as a result of his act of violence against the Boston Globe have since retired and are living on pensions created by. So Whitey sees himself as a job creator.
Well, Kevin, you bring up his anger at the Boston Globe, the paper you both work for, and you're very generous in your book crediting a bunch of reporters in this area for their good work on this story, including David Boeri here at now at WBUR and other authors whose book is coming out. But he particularly hated you, Kevin. And
well, I think he hated both me and Shelley. I think it's pretty obvious.
Well, we already Shelley was a traitor. But you, in the few seconds we have before the break, there was an editorial or reporting from the paper. You came out in the 90s and said he's an informant.
Well, actually, 1988.
Yeah, and yeah. The worst thing you could have said about him.
Well, like I said, in the Irish consciousness, there's nothing worse than being a rat. It's worse than being a killer. And certainly that's something, that's a sentiment that Whitey grew up with and still retains to this day.
That's Kevin Cullen, along with Shelley Murphy, terrific crime reporter at The Globe. They've written Whitey Bulger, America's Most Wanted Gangster, and the manhunt that brought him to justice. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask about the way you tell this story. And I didn't see the word alleged a lot. And so, you know, how did you feel so comfortable in the writing of it? We'll have that in about 1 minute here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
Welcome back. We're looking at the new book just out today, Whitey Bulger, America's Most Wanted Gangster, and the Manhunt That Brought Him to Justice. We're speaking with the two authors, both veteran reporters at the Boston Globe, Kevin Cullen and Shelley Murphy. As we mentioned, Whitey Bulger thought Shelley Murphy was a traitor to the people of South Boston. She went to school there. Kevin Cullen, well, he just hated you.
Yeah.
And in part because he felt that you and your writing were making things tough for his brother, Billy Bulger, who was, he became president of the Senate here in the state. It was like a good and bad sheep in one family, and they were both very protective of each other. But in writing the book, we know he has been charged with being involved with 19 murders. He doesn't deny his criminality, but he claims, for instance, he would never kill the two women he was accused of killing him. You have, in the book, you have his hands around their neck. You have him at crime scenes pulling the, you know, gun, shooting people in the face. You write it in the colorful, wonderful way you write your column, but he hasn't been tried yet.
That's true. I mean, but I also think you have to separate, and clearly he's entitled to his trial and a presumption of innocence on these charges. But I think, you know, given this guy was on the run for 16 years, a lot of things happened in that interim, and one of which was there were a number of legal proceedings, especially from the civil perspective, in which, you know, evidence was presented, evidence was judged by judges, and there were findings issued that held Bulger responsible for these murders. So I think we are splitting hairs, and I think there is the issue of fairness and you know, the word alleged, you know, you could make an argument that it should have been to every reference. But, you know, you mentioned about the hands around Deborah Hussey's neck. That's not me saying that. That's Kevin Weeks saying it. He said it to Shelley and I on a number of occasions when we interviewed him for the book. But, you know, he has said it in court hearing after court hearing. And I think that's the real issue. Now, the other murder of Deborah Davis, that's really Whitey's word against Stevie Flemmy's words. And they're both congenital liars. They're criminals. But I think the difference on the Hussey murder is Kevin Weeks not only said this from the get-go and never changed his story in this. Kevin Weeks retains a certain affection for Whitey Bulger. There was no reason for him to create a murder that didn't exist.
Yeah. And these are names that we're mentioning are very familiar to people here, this sort of these satellites that were around Whitey Bulger. But Shelley, you know, reading this, people have seen movies you know, the purport to be of this time. We mentioned The Departed. And those movies make your skin crawl. Reading this makes your skin crawl. I mean, this was a horrific time of the murder sprees in South Boston.
Well, yeah, and I think it's really important that we not just romanticize this. This isn't a Hollywood movie. This
you worry about that with the movies?
Well, I mean, this is a real story. These are real victims. I mean, I was there when they were digging up bodies. You know, I stood there alongside victims' families as they were waiting for remains to be recovered, and I sat through all the civil trials, criminal trials, and they are real people with real, you know, heartache. So I think that we can't ever lose sight of that. But I also want to go back to your point that, you know, Whitey's innocent until a jury finds otherwise. And I think that the book, you know, gives accounts by different witnesses, and we'll hopefully get to hear what he has to say at the upcoming trial that he calls the big show.
And we should say, before we get to that, I do want to talk for a second about the trial, but we should say that in this, you know, insular, it's a peninsula community, there was some affection for Whitey Bulger, but what we pick up is there was also fear. There was a feeling of betrayal. I mean, it turned out Whitey Bulger was behind a lot of the drug business that was decimating this town.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that was the great myth, that he had nothing to do with drugs. And again, it's almost like the way he's very good on semantics and sophistry. And it's just how I'm not an informer because nobody went to prison because of my words. I never testified against somebody. I'm not a drug dealer because I don't put my hands on it. But we actually have, I think the first time ever this has been reported, he was in a car with cocaine in it. So, I mean, but the idea, the reality is you can't give Whitey Bulger, his defenders give him this credit that he was this, you know, benevolent gangster and he had this control of the town. Well, the reality is that stuff couldn't have moved in that town if he didn't approve of it. And the evidence is overwhelming. He got millions and millions of dollars to allow drugs to be loaded and landed in South Boston and distributed South Boston.
Look, you now... In also filling in the pieces from those years he was on the run, you have letters, tons of letters that he wrote back and forth with a dear friend, Richard Sunday. He was in prison with him decades ago. His ex-common law wife, Teresa, he was with her for 30 years and then just sort of dropped her off one day and went and picked up Catherine Gregg and sort of traded off the 30-year one for the new one. So you have these letters. What else did you learn? We feel so saturated with Whitey Bulger information, but what else did you learn in doing this research?
I was struck, and Shelley and I thought we knew everything we need, but we found an awful lot about it. What struck me most is that Whitey Bulger is a man of contradictions. He's a guy that could go out there and commit these horrific acts of violence, and yet he believed he could not watch a dog be put down. He cried when a dog was shot and killed. He's a guy that, you know, would engage in criminal activity every single day, and yet he insisted on sitting down for an evening family meal and have the kids of his girlfriend, Teresa Stanley, around the table and tell them that to basically do everything he didn't do. Stay in school, study hard, save your money, work out, don't hang around with bad influences. And it's such a contradiction that this guy was, on one hand, he was a criminal. On the other hand, it was like he saw Ozzy and Harriet as his lifestyle.
Yeah, but again, Shelley, you say don't, you know, maybe some sympathy, maybe, you know, but don't romanticize him. What do you think this trial is going to be like?
Well, I think this is going to be, you know, the world according to Whitey. I think that, you know, people will listen to what he has to say and weigh it against sort of what everyone else is saying and what's in the public record. I think that he's anxious to define himself. I mean, one thing we did see in those letters is he's writing to many people about how describing himself as this, you know, patriotic, you know, person who gives to veterans groups and memorials and is very romantic and, you know, that he had this 16-year crime-free life on the run. He's anxious to portray himself as the good guy.
Well, and he hated you guys, and he threatened a Boston Herald reporter. Will you be there throughout the trial?
Absolutely.
Yep,
every day.
Being threatened and disliked by Whitey Bulger is a badge of honor where I come from.
Which, by the way, is, don't you live in South Boston?
No, not anymore.
Okay. Kevin Cullen and Shelley Murphy, two veteran Boston Globe reporters, their new book, Whitey Bulger, America's Most Wanted Gangster and the Manhunt That Brought Him to Justice. To see an excerpt and some pictures, go to herenow.org. Thank you both for coming in to speak to us about it.
Thanks,
Thank
Robin.
You. Okay, take a quick break. Be back in about a minute. Latest news is next, Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. The Institute of Contemporary Art Boston, now showing This Will Have Been, Art, Love, and Politics in the 1980s, icaboston.org. And Harvard University, whose Harvard Summer School offers courses for high school, college, and adult students to earn academic credit and experience Harvard campus life, summer.harvard.edu.